Hello and welcome to another episode of Your Average Critics, joined as usual by Obi. How are you, apart from being cold?
I'm good, Big Popper. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Cool, I'm good.
I know, I was going to say something about juicy and then I was like, pause, so I don't know. Anyway,
we can work on
the intro. Yes. Also, I'll try and shoehorn something about the Ten Crack Commandments, but I don't know. Right. I've completely lost my train of thought. What are we doing? We're doing a podcast. Yes, so Chris might join us later, but we are going to talk about the trailers that premiered at the Super Bowl last week. We're also going to review The Iron Claw and talk about some film news, hopefully when Chris joins us. But we'll start with The Iron Claw. So it's interesting. I kind of wish we'd both seen this film before we had our Oscar nominations chat.
Agreed.
Because I feel like this may have fallen into some of the categories in terms of omissions. Mm-hmm. But essentially, it's a biographical sports drama about the Von Erich family, who are a family of professional wrestlers. The patriarch, Fritz, thinks that his family are cursed because he adopted his grandmother's surname. I think that's correct. Mm. So he was a sort of, when we first meet him, I think it's the 50s, late 50s, early 60s. He's sort of a bit down on his luck. He is wrestling, but the family live in a trailer. And then you see him sort of show that he's bought a brand new car and sort of spent what little they had on this new car. And he's like, you've got to kind of be the part. You've got to look the part. And then it cuts to like 10, 15 years later when his son, played by Zac Efron, is wrestling. And essentially his dad did get some success, but never won the world title. And kind of wants to live vicariously through his children. So he has, in this film, he has five sons. In real life, he had six. But we'll talk about that in a bit. But yeah, so they're all, three of his sons, Kevin, Kerry and David, are all sports people. Kerry is a budding Olympic, discus thrower, and Kevin and David are both, wrestlers. His son Mike is a bit more meek, a bit more into music. Fritz considers this a little bit less manly and masculine.
Even though he did music himself.
Yes, which is revealed kind of halfway, three quarters of the way through the film by his wife. Who's like, he was a very well-rounded person, she refers to him as. But, you know, since he missed out on the title of the wrestling title, he has basically put all his effort into his sons achieving that on his behalf, and they're all kind of tanked. But, you know, whether it's a curse or whether it's just misfortune or pressure from their father, there's a toll that gets taken on many of the children. So one died as a child, Jack Jr. Kerry misses out on the opportunity to partake in the Olympics because the US boycotted it in 1980 something.
I think it's 1980.
Because of the Soviet Union. So I think it was being held in Moscow. So yeah, he's not allowed to partake, which obviously upsets him, but his dad's like, well, do you know what? You can become a wrestler. Kevin is very much the golden boy in terms of wrestling. And gets a title shot, which, he does well in, and there's opportunity for it. So he fights the title holder and then gets an opportunity for it to be a title match, but he's not very good on the mic. And that's obviously a real important part of the showmanship of wrestling, whereas David really is charismatic and good on the mic. And so he ends up kind of usurping his brother's position. I might get the chronology of some of this wrong, but essentially David then gets a title fight against Ric Flair and is supposed to be going around the world on tour. He is seen at Kevin's wedding throwing up quite a lot, including blood. And Kevin's like, you shouldn't go, mate. You should stay home. But he doesn't. He goes to Japan where he dies of essentially like a burst appendix or...
ruptured intestine, I think they said.
That's it, ruptured intestine. So the title shot is then chosen on the flip of a coin between Kevin and Kerry. Kerry gets the shot and wins, but he's sort of been abusing steroids, it seems. And he talks about how he struggles to get that high again in terms of winning the title. So goes out on his motorbike under the influence and crashes and ends up having to have his leg, well, half of his leg amputated, which obviously puts him back. What's the other one called? Mike is then sort of coerced into being a wrestler in one of his fights, gets like really badly injured in the shoulder, which leads to a sepsis, I think. And he's in a coma for ages. And then when he comes out, he's not quite as sharp as he used to be. This leads him to think he's better off not on this planet and essentially ends his own life. Not too long after that, Kerry also ends his own life because he's, you know, upset with kind of how his life has turned out. And it's left to Kevin, who is given the company, his father's wrestling company, the NWA, by his father, but you know, he's struggling to support his family and so decides to sell it to WWE, much to the disappointment of his father. But, you know, he has children and they become his new family. I mean, the way I've described it, there's a lot of tragedy that happens. And it is very difficult to watch. But I think, you know, the performances are so strong and the camaraderie and the rapport between all of the family members, like, adds a real, like, authenticity to it. And I think that makes the loss that is experienced within the film even more heartbreaking. I got a bit like welled up, you know, when they, in that kind of scene where Kerry, Dave, Mike are kind of on the lake and they're like, oh, you're here. And they're like, oh, where's Jack? You know, the son that died as a child, and it pans around and he is like a 5-year old.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, got me. But, yeah, it's a really powerful film. But by the time, you know, Kerry ends his own life, I was like, yeah, this family is cursed. You know, in real life, there were 6 Von Erich sons. 5 of them died, 3 of which were by suicide. And you think, how can you have 6 children and 5 of them die before you? That's absolutely crazy. But yeah, all in the pursuit of recognition and acceptance by the wrestling community, really, and all the tragedy that befalls them. But Zac Efron's really good in this. Jeremy Allen White's really good. Holt McCallany as Fritz. You know, everyone in this film is like really stand out, and I think they just make the connection between all the brothers and the family members like really, yeah, genuine. And that is much to the credit of this film. But I've spoken for a long time, Obi. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the exact same boat as you. To preface, I used to be a really, really big wrestling fan when I was younger.
Had you heard of the Von Erichs?
So I had heard of them, but I heard of them. I knew that their story was tragic, but I had no idea what the story was because I just never really ever delved into it before. So I went into the film relatively blind, I would say, as to what was kind of like going to happen. But yeah, I'm very, even though I knew whatever was going to happen was bad, I just didn't know how bad it was going to be, kind of thing. So I was still quite shocked by what took place over the course of the film. But yeah, to kind of just echo exactly what you said, I think I just enjoyed the family element of it. Like, I think Zac Efron's character really well portrayed, kind of like that big brother. Like, his face would light up every time he saw one of his brothers, and it kind of like, that was kind of like the theme around the entire family. You really felt like the connection between their brothers, and also how much they, at the end of the day, they all say they wanted to compete for the title and they wanted to win the world title and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, it just seemed like they all just were really competing for their dad's love and for their dad's affection. Which, I'm not going to lie, is bad parenting for certain. He even says, like, at the beginning of the film, basically, like, oh yeah, so-and-so's my favourite, he's second, you're third, you're fourth, but the rankings can change. And it's like, that's like quite a mad thing to say to your kids. Even as adults, as children, I imagine he said that as they were children, and they've probably grown up with their mentality that, oh, I need to do this in order for my dad to love me the most. Which is quite mad. I think that the film does a good way of kind of like portraying where I don't think the parents both love their children, like they love them a lot, but it kind of shows like how also not to parent. Like the mum, for example, Kevin comes to her and says, "Dad's being too hard on Mike. Can you say something?" And she's, "Oh no, I'm gonna stay out of that. It's not between me. That's between you guys. That's not good."
And when Kerry calls Kevin and is basically like, "I'm not in a good place," Kevin's immediately rings his dad. He's like, "I'm on my way, but can you just keep an eye out?" And he's like, "No, you need to settle that between yourselves." And lo and behold, by the time he gets there, it's too late. I was watching it. I was so frustrated at, like, you know, you could see. I mean, I knew pretty much from the first scene where they're around the dinner table that Mike wasn't, you know, gonna survive very long, because he's definitely the odd one out in terms of like physical stature, the ranking he has within the family. And I was, I don't know, something in me, I was like, he's definitely gonna take his own life. I didn't expect Kerry to, and David to pass away either. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Chris has joined. Hi, Chris. Sorry we're spoiling this film for you, but it's not necessarily, there's a lot of tragedy, but it's not necessarily a downbeat film. Like, there's a lot of like positive in it. It's very much a family film, with the wrestling kind of taking a back seat. But I don't know, there was something that came out of it, and I was like, despite all of that tragedy and sadness, I was like, I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm surprised it didn't get awards buzz.
Yeah, I'm similar to you. I was kind of saying, by the end of the film, I would say it's a really, really good film, but it's hard. I think, for me, I find it hard to say I enjoyed it just because of everything that took place in it. And kind of like how sad it was by the end. I do think, I'll go back to the awards buzz in a second. I do think that although the scene with where they all met up by the lake was really powerful, really emotional, and I liked it, it did slightly, I think there's a part of it, I think, that glorifies suicide a little bit. Although two of the four brothers that were there committed suicide, so it wasn't like, you know, but it was kind of like a thing of, oh, when he says, "Oh yeah, you're finally here," and it's like, "Oh yeah, you finally killed yourself." Like, it's like, it's a bit like, you know, I felt like the tone of that was a bit odd.
And what do you think? So, I've alluded to it a few times. Like, there is another brother, like Chris, who's not mentioned in the film at all. The director says he chose to remove him from the story because there was enough tragedy. But I mean, this sounds quite flippant, but what's one more death and suicide in and amongst four of your five children? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. That is pretty deep, though.
Like, it is, but what's you, one got, more? Got, do you know what I mean? You're telling the story of his family. And
the fifth one.
I guess maybe he had an even more tragic backstory that maybe would overshadow the rest of the story.
Well, I read that the director used Mike. So Mike's character, he kind of like combined Chris and Mike in into Mike's character in the film, which I doesn't really excuse it, but I think I could be paraphrasing, but one of the things that he said was, "Oh, we can't." Eventually, basically saying we had to kind of cut it for time. Was like one of the things that he said, which is kind of like, well, what's 15 extra minutes if you get to, introduce the whole aspect of the Von Erich family kind of thing.
Who does decide like what length it should be? Because I think with this day and age, like, does it really matter if the film's like 2.5 hours long?
Mm.
I agree with you. I mean, how many films recently have we watched that are pushing or just 3 hours?
Mm.
It's normally the studio that would dictate it. This is distributed by A24.
Yeah.
But they're like art house, so I can't imagine they would necessarily put any stipulation on what a writer director would want to. They like stifle their creativity in that sense.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look at like some of their other films. Mm. So Everything Everywhere All at Once, how long was that? That was definitely 2 and a bit hours, wasn't it? That was 140 minutes, so 220. Mm. Uncut Gems was quite long. Midsummer was 3 hours long.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like it's maybe it was just down to the writer director, but
I was also gonna say, I was really impressed with, there wasn't loads of like wrestling stunt like coordination in the film, but with what they did, I thought I was really impressed with. It looked like for the most part they were doing their own stunts. Maybe a few of like the kicks here and there were like stunt doubles, but for what I saw, I was really impressed with like the stunt work, basically, from mainly Zac Efron and Jeremy Allen White, to be fair. Who also, they got flipping hench for this film.
Wow.
Days. Mate, Jeremy Allen White, right? I remember watching season 2 of The Bear thinking, he's gotten massive. Like, just such, I'm just like, what's going on here? And obviously he must have been training for this role. And obviously, see him in this, and Zac Efron in this, like, oh my god. Like, if he's not doing steroids, then that guy's a flipping, I don't know, he's a genuine specimen. Imagine going from, look at how he looks in High School Musical to how he looks in Iron Claw. It's actually crazy.
I've seen an episode of The Bear, but this is the first kind of proper thing I've seen Jeremy Allen White in. And I'm like, he's good. And particularly, I know that he, in his personal life, has had kind of issues with kind of addiction, and so I always feel like when an actor plays a character who's also going through that, I sort of think, I wonder how much real experience that they're putting into that and how difficult it must be, or can they separate it, compartmentalize it.
But he did the same, because Shameless, he was an addict as well.
He was, yes. I call it.
Yeah.
Oh, was he in Shameless?
Yeah.
Lip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The American one, I presume.
Yeah,
but really good film. I gave it an 8.5, which I know is high. But I'm looking at it and I'm like, we're talking about awards. Obi, I mean, you've seen a lot more of these award buzz films than I have. Is there any in terms of best picture or best actor or supporting actor that you think actually the Iron Claw or someone from the Iron Claw should replace someone on that list?
Let me just get the line up again, because I can't remember for the life of me who's in Best Picture.
The Best Picture is American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
Well, to be a bit controversial, I mean, Barbie for its message and its accolades, and kind of for me in terms of like the surprise of it, I think deserves to be in there. But as an actual film, I enjoyed Iron Claw more than Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
I watched American Fiction the other day. Really enjoyed that, to be fair. Holdovers, I really enjoyed. Oppenheimer, Poor Things. I think it's better than Killers of the Flower Moon, to be honest.
Yeah, but, I agree.
But, it's Scorsese, so that's always gonna, get a mention in the awards category. But yeah, I'm very, obviously I haven't seen Anatomy of a Fall or Maestro, or Zone of Interest. But, the others are all in their right. Very, very good films. But yeah, I'm very surprised that this got left out completely. I don't think it got one nomination for anything. So yeah, very, very surprised that it got left out.
Would you have had Zac Efron as best actor over either Bradley Cooper, Coleman Domingo, Paul Giamatti, Cillian Murphy, or Jeffrey Wright? Appreciating you've not seen all of them.
Yeah. Probably not. Probably not. Of the ones that I've seen, to be fair.
I feel like this is, if they had an award for like honourable mention.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like biggest rise, that kind of thing. Like
yeah,
most improved
actor.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't, but I do think he was really, like, I think that category is especially quite strong. I do think he was really, really good in it. I think any other year he probably gets, well, I would think that he would get a nomination. Because yeah, definitely deserve it. I was thinking that the dad, could have got best supporting for sure. I think he was really good. Obviously, his character was an arsehole, but I thought he was really good. Also, just quickly going back to the whole parenting thing, because it riled me, I'm not going to lie. So David died, right? They have the funeral. The same day of the funeral, the dad's like, okay, so we have to figure out who's going to fight the title. So David, I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, you literally just buried him. Like, I could have, honestly, and the brothers didn't even, like, I felt like they were just so brainwashed that they just didn't even react to, like, the fact that they just buried their brother, and they were just back to fighting over who's going to challenge for the title, and I was just like, oh man, I couldn't believe what I was watching, honestly. It was mad.
It was all like it was a massive inconvenience, wasn't it? Because you could see the father's reaction when Mike comes out of his coma and is struggling. He's just sort of like, so inconvenient, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
I think the women in this film don't get a lot to do, which, you know, it's very male. How do you have six sons, by the way? You don't even have a single daughter. That's crazy. Biblical. That's the sort of thing that happens in, like, Job 34, but, but yeah, anyway, so, like, what was my point there? Oh, when, I think it's by the time Kerry's passed away, the mother's like, I've worn this dress so many times, like, I need to change my dress. And then Lily James's character's like, it's okay. But yes, very worth the watch. Don't expect to come out of it in the same mood you would if you came out of Barbie, but, you know, maybe have Barbie as a palate cleanser. Should we talk about some trailers, or do you want to talk about first the Fantastic Four casting, which was finally confirmed on, I think, Valentine's Day, which is a nice gift to us. Although, to be honest, none of the casting was much of a surprise to me, because basically my timeline on Twitter is always flooded with people who give away spoilers. And to be fair, there's this one account that got all of them right quite a long time ago. So we have Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic. We have Eben Moss-Bachrach, I think is his name. He's the guy from The Bear. He's playing the Thing. What's that?
And Andor as well.
Oh, yes, of course he is. Vanessa Kirby, she's playing Sue Storm. And then Joseph Quinn is playing Johnny Storm. He's from Stranger Things, I think. I mean, I'm whelmed, maybe.
Okay.
I think it's difficult. I think it's going to sound harsh to the actors. They've not gone A-list, which I'm not mad at.
Pedro Pascal's A-lister, I would say. But yeah, other than that,
I think he's maybe TV A-lister.
Okay.
I don't know. But anyway, that, you know, splitting hairs there. It's really difficult to try and separate this casting from what's gone before. And, you know, full disclosure, I've not seen the mid-2000s films in a long, long time. But, you know, by virtue that they are the most, well, I don't know if they're the first iteration, but the most memorable iteration, I think all of those characters have cast quite well. Mm. And, you know, the fan casting that's come out, in the last few years with John Krasinski, I think he, you know, in my head, because I guess there's vague similarities with Ewan Gruffudd in terms of look and character, that I was like, yeah, on board with that. Pedro Pascal seems to be a departure from that. So I'm not against it, but I'm like curious to see his take on it. And I think it's going to be set in the 60s, it seems.
Oh, right. Is that a thing?
That's what the picture entails, doesn't it?
Okay.
Yeah. So the,
okay. Fair enough.
The poster is, I think the thing is reading a Time magazine from the 60s.
Mm.
So I wonder, because obviously their powers are linked to cosmic, aren't they? So I wonder if maybe they get involved in the space race. And it might link to a line in Doctor Strange 2 where he says to Mr. Fantastic, weren't you guys big in the 80s? Or something like that. So, yeah, Chris, I mean, you posted on our Instagram a couple of years ago, I think, about some fan casting. What's your reaction to that?
In my opinion, the thing doesn't matter. It could be anyone, anything, doesn't matter. Although, I caveat that with maybe the last casting for the thing was a bit shit. You do expect like a bit of a broader person to then turn into the thing, but I guess it's more dramatic if they're a smaller person turning into a larger monster. Johnny Storm, I'm cool with that. All I've got to go on is Stranger Things. He was good in that. Can't say I've seen him in anything else, but he seemed quite charismatic. So, yeah, cool. I mean, you see Johnny Storm as this like really handsome, good-looking guy typically in the films. I mean, he's not my cup of tea, but but he's not a bad looking chap, so maybe he can pull it off a little bit. I don't know. Or they'll just go a different angle with it, like they have with loads of the other films. I think they're doing Pedro Pascal for the sake of doing Pedro Pascal. Jumping on the hype train of Pedro, he's getting all this fame, fortune from all his good roles, and he does play them very well. I just don't see him as Mr. Fantastic as of yet, but I hope to be had my mind changed, you know. I'm sure when he got cast for what's that zombie one?
The Last of Us.
I'm sure a lot of people compared him to the game character and was like, oh, he doesn't look like him, he's gonna be rubbish, yada yada yada, and he's fucking smashed it. So yeah, I'm sure he'd do great. And yeah, the lady, I've only seen her in two things. Both things I don't think were particularly great, but that doesn't say much about her acting. It's more about the film she's been in my personal opinion. But she seems to act quite well in them, so fingers crossed. I mean, it was a pipe dream thinking John Krasinski and Emily Blunt were going to play Mr. Fantastic and, is it Invisible Woman?
Sue Storm.
So now we, you know, the benefit of hindsight. And by the way, I completely forgot there was a 2015 version of Fantastic Four.
The worst film I've ever seen.
I genuinely was like, oh yeah, well, Jessica Alba was the most recent version of Sue Storm, but no, it wasn't. I can't even tell you who was Sue Storm in that film.
It was the lady from House of Cards.
Yeah. Kate Mara? Rooney Mara?
Yeah. God, that film completely wiped from my mind.
I know. Michael B. Jordan as her brother.
Of course. And Billy Elliot. That's the thing. Yes.
Yes.
Who played Mr. Fantastic in that?
The geezer who did the drum film. The one who...
Marcello.
Oh, fuck, Marcello, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, anyway, that film was...
The one thing I'll take from that film that I liked is the fact he could change his facial structure, Mr. Fantastic. I thought that was pretty clever. But besides that, that's
the only thing. Anyway, with the benefit of hindsight, do you think that they cast John Krasinski in Doctor Strange just as like a
fan
thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. They were never gonna have him.
Why though?
He might not want to do it.
I don't think he wants to do it.
Fair. Well,
because he's this now Big Shot director slash actor. He could probably walk into whatever he wants. He could have definitely just walked in and been like, I'll be Mr. Fantastic. And they would have been like, hell yeah.
Well, Pedro's instead he got
instead he got 10 minutes and he died ridiculously. World's smartest man became the world's, well, world's smartest man became the world's dumbest man within a matter of seconds. So
yeah, it's not he's the way he died was because he should be the smartest person in the room and he couldn't.
Mate, he should have thrown something down, zapped her, whatever. Do not go near
Spaghetti Man,
the witch with the powers.
I was just going to quickly give my 2 cents on.
Yes, I was going to come to you. Sorry,
casting. I actually really like it. I think it's really, really quite good casting. So I guess I'm a bit more positive on it than the pair of you. I feel like my man from the Bear, Ebon, wherever his name is, essentially, I think, is quite, looking at his character from the Bear, I feel like is quite like, I just expect the guy who's going to be a thing to be super grumpy, and that's like that's basically how I see him. So I think I'm quite happy with that. Vanessa Kirby, I think I like her in Mission Impossible, and I like her in Fast and Furious.
Shit, she's in Mission Impossible. Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot.
I think she's quite like in Mission Impossible. She's knowledgeable, and she's a bit like what's the word? Flirty, but also like in a way that's like she's always trying to get things to her advantage. I feel like it's quite an interesting way that I don't know if they can maybe incorporate some of that kind of characterization into the Sue Storm character. I think that would be quite fun. Joseph Quinn, I think he's the one that I have the biggest question mark over. I liked him in Stranger Things as well. He wasn't particularly from this I'm going by Chris Evans' portrayal of Johnny Storm, so quite arrogant. I don't think in Stranger Things he portrayed as a character that was particularly arrogant, so I'm curious to see if they go down that route, and if they don't, I'm curious to see then how they kind of decide to play it. But yeah, from the little I've seen, I quite like him, I think he's a good actor. Curious to see if that American accent sticks, and if it is good when he plays the role. And then, yeah, who haven't I mentioned yet? Okay. Pedro Pascal. Yeah, I think, everything I've seen Pedro Pascal in, I'm always impressed with him in. When you think about, like, Oberyn Martell, then the guy from The Last of Us, then Maxwell Lord from, what's it called? Wonder Woman 1984. Then the guy from, the film he did with Nicolas Cage. They're all just completely different, and I feel like he always smashes it. So, whatever direction they decide to go in, I feel like he will do well in that role. Whether or not that is similar to the John Krasinski, OG, Fantastic Four guy, Miles Teller, I don't know how they're going to go with it, but whatever they do, I think the success of that character depends on the popularity of the direction they decide to go in, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. If people are on board with how they decide to go, I think he'll body it regardless. It's just a case of whether or not how he's portrayed is what we want to see, if that makes any sense. But yeah, I'm pretty happy.
I did begin to wonder if this film was ever going to happen, but
me too.
Got a release date of the 25th of July 2025, which seems quite soon.
Same month as Superman, the new Superman film as well.
Ooh, okay.
Interesting.
I guess both of those seem to be starting production, so I guess maybe films don't take quite as long anymore as they do, but it seems quite close. But anyway, I'm open-minded. I don't know who I expected, to be honest. So it's not that I'm disappointed. I'm just sort of like I said, whelmed. But yeah, interested to see where it goes. And other Marvel news, I think the Hollywood Reporter reported today or yesterday that confirmed what we've been talking about for a while, that Avengers 5 will no longer be called the Kang Dynasty. Surprise No word on what it will be, but yeah, makes sense.
I was hearing rumors that Colman Domingo, they were going to replace him replace Jonathan Majors with him as Kang. I don't know if that's still the case or if they've just decided to do a hard left and just say, okay, fuck Kang altogether. We're just going to go a completely new direction kind of thing. If that is the case, it does make me feel like, I suppose it's not really Marvel's fault because, you know, they didn't know Jonathan Majors was going to do what he did. But it does feel like whatever they've been building up to does feel like kind of a waste of time.
100%. I mean, was supposed to be the multiverse saga, but ending with the Kang bit, and he's been, you know, drip fed like Thanos was, even more so than Thanos actually. Mm. And I mean, we'll talk about the Deadpool trailer, I guess, after this, but even that seems to be feeding on from Loki, which was obviously very heavy on a variant of Kang. So, yeah, how they pivot will be interesting.
Mm.
Unless, I mean, obviously, I think Deadpool underwent some reshoots not too long ago, around the same time that Jonathan Majors' kind of trial was ongoing. So maybe they used that to pivot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought they said they were just scrapping Kang altogether. I thought that was the most recent announcement.
Well, they removed his title from the film. I suppose not. We don't know for certain that they're going to scrap him altogether, I guess, until it actually
He would be the worst villain I've seen. Literally. Like, he got beat by Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And then he was useless in Loki. Literally the worst villain. But they have technically killed him in both. So.
Oh yeah, he's died, at this point, probably thousands of times, according to Loki.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they could literally just change him to anyone, and it literally, they could be like, well, it's a variant, you know what I mean? Like, none of the variants we've seen, none of the variants we've seen so far, besides him, have looked the same.
Mm.
Besides Wonder as well, but, so they could have done anything, but, I think they're trying to do a reset because everything's been a bit pants recently.
Yeah.
I think someone stated, one of the a famous actors stated, basically, since it's gone to Disney Plus, it's been a bit downhill.
Who said that?
I can't remember who said it.
Hmm.
I think it might have been Mark Ruffalo, actually.
Well, according to the Hollywood Reporter report, Marvel have dropped the name as a reflection of both Jonathan Majors' removal from the role and the underwhelming reaction to Quantumania. Mm. It still currently has a release date of the 1st of May 2026, although, considering it doesn't have a director, I can't imagine it's going to be meeting that date.
No.
But, you know, we shall see. Are they doing a D23 this year?
I don't know, you know.
Because That D23 when they like announced all of the kind of stuff, you know, Blade, Fantastic Four, well, that was hype, and then
it was
since then it's
nothing fucking happened. They're doing one in August.
Okay, so we'll see, because there's only one Marvel film coming out this year. Obviously, we've got the X-Men animated show, which I don't know if you want to touch on at all.
Yeah, can touch on it a little bit.
I didn't watch the trailer, so...
Okay, well, the trailer is basically... So, continuing from where the series originally left off, I think in 1996, where, obviously, you've got your X-Men, Charles Xavier dies, I believe. And, yeah, this is basically going from... This is continuing that with Cyclops as the leader of the X-Men, which is quite a big thing in like the comics from the past, I believe. And yeah, it goes through action sequences. You see Gambit, you see Wolverine, although I think I read they've gotten all the voice actors that they could get back who haven't passed away. They've got them all back, which is pretty cool. Actually, I think there was one they replaced just because I think they had a white person voicing a black person or something like that. But apart from that, they brought everybody else back. I did think the line delivery, Chris, I don't know if you watched the trailer, but there was one line delivery by the guy who plays Wolverine. He says like, "Hey, bub," da 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 da, and I thought it was really, really bad delivery, and it's quite jarring. But
I also think that as well.
Yeah, everyone else seemed to love it though. But I was like, cool, whatever. And yeah, you see showcasing powers, see Gambit, see Storm being super powerful, Jubilee, all sorts. So yeah, it looks pretty interesting. At the end of the trailer, there's like a little stinger where basically it appears that in Charles Xavier's last will and testament, he's left everything to Magneto, which is interesting. I think that, part of me does want to go and see, watch the original animated series properly, just to see how what their relationship is like. In comparison to like the films, if it is more adversarial or if it is kind of like more like, oh, they're actually like, you know, like friends. But yeah, it seems like a interesting watch. I have no idea if it's going to be dropping weekly or if it's going to be dropping all at once, but I'll give it a try. I think it should be pretty fun.
Chris, any thoughts on it?
No, I agree. I didn't. Yeah, that line delivery was awful. I can't remember what their relationship was like, but I do recall, I feel like Xavier died at some point, but I'm sure he came back to life. But when did any of these characters ever stay dead?
Thanks.
True. But, well, on the subject of characters that don't stay dead, and Wolverine.
Segue.
Still got it. We've got, we had a trailer for the third Deadpool film, which is titled Deadpool and Wolverine. So we start off with Wade celebrating his birthday with his terrible toupee, with some of the people that he saved by going back in time at the end of Deadpool 2. Then a knock at the door and he is accosted and essentially kidnapped by some TVA agents. He's then sort of brought into the TVA and is interviewed by someone who is called Mr. Paradox, I think, played by Matthew McFadden, who was in Succession. And he's like, we need your help. You've got a particular set of skills. And he's kind of shows him on the screen of the TVA various kind of clips from throughout Marvel. So we see Thor with his eye patch. We see Captain America. I've seen this trailer so many times, but I still can't catch everything else. But essentially, Deadpool's like, right, you need me. I'm going to be Marvel Jesus. And he seems to be at some point fighting the TVA and at some point fighting other beasts. So one of them, I think, was Iloth from, remember which, he's either Doctor Strange or, can't remember, but some sort of like shadow dog thing. Maybe it was Loki. And
what's this? What are you asking?
Doesn't matter. I'm just trying to think of the name. There's a part in the trailer where this like creature, winged creature, like takes someone away, and he's like, "What the fuck?" But anyway, he then seems to be fighting in front of what looks like a 20th Century Fox sign, buried in the ground, and the trailer ends with him basically being confronted by Wolverine, which we see kind of in shadow. I really like the trailer.
Sorry, then, before we talk about trailer, why do you think they decided to not show Hugh Jackman's face?
Because it's not him, it's Daniel Radcliffe. Boom!
Imagine, that'd actually be quite fun.
Well, actually, there's a shot in the trailer of what looks like a Wolverine in a white suit sitting down. And some people have speculated that that is a variant of Wolverine and is not going to be played by Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
There's also a shot of Emma Corrin's character, who's like a bald elf-looking person, who might be Charles's sister or something. I really like this trailer. I mean, I like Deadpool. I like the humor. This definitely comes across in this film. I like the ties in with Loki. To answer your question, I think they haven't shown Hugh Jackman's face because they're building anticipation, and then I think there'll be another trailer in a couple of months that will show him. Because it's called Deadpool and Wolverine, so it's not like... I presume Wolverine will be quite a major character.
Or is it actually called Deadpool and Wolverine, or is this another publicity stunt?
It could be. It was giving Ant-Man and the Wasp, which, is not a great comparison, but I don't know. I really liked it. I'm really looking forward to it. It seems like there's definitely a shot which makes it look like he's at the scene of the opening of Avengers in Age of Ultron.
Mm.
So he may be visiting previous
most likely
events in the MCU, which I'm also interested in. But yeah, I want to hear from you guys. Obi, what did you think?
So I will preface my comments by saying that I'm not the biggest fan of Deadpool films. I think they're just okay. The first one's much better than the second one. Anyway, but that being said, I thought the trailer was good. I'm annoyed that I laughed at the pegging joke at the start.
What, laughing at something that's funny is not a bad thing, Obi.
It's just so stupid. I was like, for God's sake, it shouldn't be funny. But I laughed anyway. I'm happy that they are finally integrating the TVA, Loki, all that into the films. And I'm looking forward to... I feel like we might get... I feel like in this we might get what I kind of hoped we would get with Multiverse of Madness in terms of just like going to... different universes, seeing different iterations of different characters, but more in a more grandiose level. I think that, I mean, not that they've only been in X-Men Origins together, but I feel like Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds' chemistry will be really good. Wolverine is the perfect like straight man to Deadpool's, you know, wacky, funny character. So yeah, we're looking forward to that too. Yeah, I think that I would like to see another trailer just to get maybe a little bit more about the potential plot lines. But for the most part, I'll say I'm very much looking forward to it. Maybe just because it's the only Marvel film that we're going to get this year, but I'm expecting it to be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, I'm always a bit of two minds about Deadpool films. Like, I like them sometimes, and other times I'm like, this is a bit... I don't know if I like the what was it, fourth wall breaking? I'm in an arm about it. But the other two films were decent, and I feel like this can only get better, really. I don't know who the villain's going to be. That might be the one... That might be the thing that makes him not as good. Mm. But yeah, it's always good. It's always nice to see older characters. It's always nicer to, see the past and present mash. It's nice to see that the different things combine in, i.e. Deadpool, X-Men, Wolverine, TVA, you know. It's the whole point of making a universe, right? So,
particularly a multiverse. Like what Obi said, you know,
yeah,
we hope to get that because the possibilities are just limitless.
Mm.
What?
The only thing I can see this film doing, though, is, like, just nullifying the multiverse. Like, he does something so catastrophic at the end that there is no more multiverse and we just have one line. Which makes sense, because then it merges the X-Men into our universe and we just have to live with it. Which will piss off a few people, but also kind of does us a favour.
Correct me if I'm wrong, isn't one of the big plot lines of Secret Wars that it's like a whole multiversal thing?
Yeah, true, to be fair, true. So maybe he's the catalyst for it.
I think
Secret Wars, they get loads of different heroes from different universes to battle in a tank or other.
I think he'll be the catalyst for the X-Men coming to the MCU, but we've obviously seen Beast in a different timeline at the end of Captain Marvel 2,
I almost feel like you can, like, I'm trying to think how Marvel thinking right now. Like, Captain Marvel 2, I thought was decent, but a lot of people didn't like it. Ant-Man and the Wasp, I don't know anyone who liked that film. Love and Thunder. Like, don't know many people who like that. And then I struggled to think of the other films. So then it makes me think we've got bad to mediocre films in this these phases.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, almost like, do they really care of the continuity at this point? Maybe they just scrap it all because, yeah, you need, you, I just, I, we said this years ago, once the Thanos arc was over, it's going to be it's going to be so saturated and they're not going to be able to like get the, they've done too much in a short, no, it's not even a short space of time. They've just done too much and they've not made it, they've not made it exquisite like they have with all the other stuff. They've tried to make it top tier, the other stuff. And obviously they've had their blunders. We, like, you can't get it 100% of the time, but they got 65% of the time before, I'd say. And now they've got about 30% of the time. So like, it's almost like you either do a soft reboot or, cause they're not going to stop. So they've got to do a soft reboot, I feel, at some point.
I kind of think what you touched on there is actually all going to work in Deadpool's favor. So Deadpool and Wolverine's favor, because it's the only, piece of, the only film out this year from Marvel. So it's not, you know, it's not like you're, so I think, was it last year or the year before? It was basically like every other month there was a Marvel film coming out and, you know, we would go and watch it. But if you're just a more casual viewer, you'll be like, do you know what? I'll wait for it to come on Disney Plus or something. But this is, this will be a bit more of an event, I think, in that regard. It'll almost certainly be R-rated, which, again, I think attracts a certain audience. I would be surprised if it doesn't gross over $1 billion.
They'll probably make a PG one, right, as well? Didn't they do that last time?
They did do that.
I never saw that one, but...
But, like, also, wait, can you remember your... Will you be able to remember your thing or not?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I've forgotten mine already, so you can.
Jesus Christ.
Sugar, what was I thinking?
If you remember, just interrupt me. But what I was going to say is, I was going to ask where you think, which Wolverine we're going to see in terms of like where from the, you know, Fox timeline, and also what you think the significance of the 20th Century Fox logo, because obviously that is very breaking the fourth wall, very meta. So I wonder, is he going to somehow break the Fox timeline and we're going to get a version of Wolverine that's maybe from the early 2000s? Because obviously I wonder if they're going to keep Logan and that as kind of canon. What do you think?
I hope they do keep Logan as canon, because I really enjoy that film and I think that was a really good way for the character to end. So if I hope this Wolverine is from a different timeline to that one. There was rumours that potentially, well, only because of the yellow suit really, that this might be the live action version of the animated Wolverine cartoon, which would be interesting, I guess. I'm really curious to see how they're going to play this, to be honest with you, because I suppose they could pluck him from, they could say, like, they could maybe pluck him from one of the films or one of those earlier films and then just bring him into like a new timeline, so that maybe that character still exists but this one we're getting is technically a new one that we've not seen before. There's so many ways they could play it, to be fair, so yeah, I'm quite curious to see which way they go. It'll probably be in a way that leaves us all asking questions afterwards about timelines and canon events and whatever.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen looked on IMDb? Like, who's in it?
No, if it's spoilers, I don't want to hear it.
No, I also wouldn't trust that necessarily.
Well, one of them, I'm pretty sure, is in the trailer. We see the fire guy in the trailer, don't we?
Yes. There's also someone who looked a little bit like Doctor Doom. But I think we maybe we discussed this on WhatsApp. I was like,
a lot of people were speculating it could be him.
They wouldn't put him in the glimpse and you'll miss it part of the trailer, surely.
No. To be fair, I watched it again today, I was like, it's definitely not him. Definitely not Doctor Doom. No. Yeah. But yeah, it looks cool. And like Chris said, I think Chris made a good point that I think this is a really, really good chance for, if Marvel do want to say, all right, fuck it, we need to start again, then this is their best opportunity to do so. But then, I don't know, part of that would make me not sad, but I would be like, oh, what about the stuff that we did like? You know, what about Shang-Chi? I like Shang-Chi. What about I like Turtles, you know? But,
yeah. Obi, tell us about another trailer that came out during the Super Bowl.
Oh, another trailer. You put me on the spot. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes trailer came out.
Talking through it.
So it looks like, well, we know that it's something set 100 years or so after the War for the Planet of the Apes film. Apes are, it's basically, if you think about the plot of, or the setting of the original, is it Charlton Heston? Planet of the Apes film. It's basically that same setting. So apes are chilling. They are very, although they're not like, I don't think they're all like scientists and shit yet, like they were in the other film, but they're very advanced. Humans are all primitive, blah, blah, blah. Apes are hunting humans. There is one ape in particular who seems to be more sympathetic towards humans and says that, apes hunting humans is wrong. So he's like an advocate for, you know, the, ape human, I don't know, what's the word? Being together, I guess, for lack of a better word. It seems like, yeah, the apes don't rate him for it. And there's going to be some sort of battle that ensues between them because of that. And I'll be very honest. Just before I say what my opinion, the CGI looks better than it did for the first trailer. So I'm quite happy about that. I was a bit worried about that, to be honest. But I don't, the plot, from what it seems like the plot's going to be about, like, you know, the relationship between this ape. I think it's going to be called Caesar. I'm not sure. And between him and the humans, and him being against, like, the other apes who want to hunt the humans. I'm a bit like, I don't know. I shouldn't really care. Although, The plot lines turned me off a little bit, but I'm a bit like, oh, okay, this is a bit, I don't know, underwhelming, I feel like.
Yeah. Chris, you had a very visceral reaction when Obi mentioned Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. You went, ugh.
Oh, I'm just not that buzzed about it. I'm not appealed by the storyline, the trailer.
I thought the trailer looked good. I mean, the visuals are very impressive, but, and I have a similar criticism of Monkey Man, in the sense that I feel like we've seen this film before quite recently. Like, it's not a groundbreaking original plot, is it? With the whole Nova being the child that is special and more intelligent than any other child and has to be protected by the beings from that planet. I'm basically just described the creator to you.
Yeah, fair.
Or, you know, various other kind of AI-related plots. It's nothing new, it's just with apes. And I guess, you know, whilst Monkey Man also looks good, it also just looks like John Wick.
Indian John Wick. Which I'm not mad at, in fairness.
do you know what I mean? Like, these plots are, you know, utilised a lot for a reason, but, you know, the visual of just fighting in a kitchen, like, I feel like I've seen that to death recently. Like, every film has it now, like, every action film. So, yeah, I just want maybe a little bit more originality, but, you know, it still looks all right.
That's fair.
Do you know what, you saying the fight in the kitchen, that made me think of Brother Son. I don't know if I really watched that.
I did.
But literally, that a literal fight scene happens in the kitchen. Maybe even twice. I can't remember now. But yeah, literally twice.
If and not does someone more. Get hit over the head with a saucepan?
Probably. I can't quite remember now. But pretty sure someone gets has their body chopped up. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What trailer stood out for you that you watched, Chris?
Trying to remember what ones I watched now. Well, I watched them all. Not Knuckles, but I do look forward to watching that.
That looks alright, to be fair.
It's a TV series, isn't it?
What, a 6-episode event?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good fun character. Oh, I'll tell you what, actually, no. Quiet Place Day One.
Talk to me.
Talk to you. It looks pretty cool. I assumed it was going to be with John and Emily, but it seems like it's a mix of them and what happens on day one, I believe. I guess it's taken us from the event from the start rather than the middle and the end. Although, actually, I actually don't know if it ended with the last film, but yeah, it looks like a good film. I think all those films are quite good, though. I like the first one. I like the second one. I don't really know what they can do different. We've seen the monster. We know it's got to be quiet. I guess we'll know the origin story, but we won't really because it's just something that come out of space. But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they started off. Because obviously it's a bit of a... I think everyone thinks in an apocalypse they're going to be running riot and smashing shit up and doing the best they can. But in reality, it's probably not as easy as the TV makes it look. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't really have much more to say to it than that because... I don't think it gave too much away, to be honest.
I mean, we sort of got a little bit of the day one in at the beginning of A Quiet Place Part 2, didn't we? Because we sort of the bit that when we were talking about The Last of Us, we were like, oh, there's quite a lot of similarities there. But this seems to be very much, because that was very much day one and then quickly into the sequel part of Quiet Place 2. This seems to be just sort of focusing on day one. It's got Lupita Nyong'o and Joseph Quinn and Jimon Hwansu, who was in the second part two as well. So, yeah, it looks good. It's also one of these films that is very much using iconography of 9/11, which I always find interesting, particularly with like the kind of ashy, asbestosy kind of dust on the face. That's quite, reminiscent of that. And I'm presuming this film's set in New York, so...
Why'd you presume that?
I don't know, the buildings just kind of made me...
Say New York.
I looked at the buildings, I was like, kind of looks like New York.
I thought it looked like a diddy little town somewhere.
I could be wrong. So that's another one. We also had Wicked. So this has got Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande.
Is there something different about her? She looks so different in that.
paler?
You said it, not me.
we're all... me and Obi had a small conversation about this off air. Anyway, she's playing Galinda. And Cynthia Erivo is El Barba, who becomes the Wicked Witch of the West. Yeah, I mean, I've not seen the musical.
Have you not?
No, I'm not.
I've not seen the other.
Have you not? Mate, let's all go.
Shall we actually?
Yeah, go on then. I like it. It's quite good.
Okay. Sounds wicked. But yeah, I mean, you know, it looks fine. It doesn't look like my sort of film. But I don't know. Chris, you've seen the musical, it sounds like. How does this trailer make you feel?
It looks like an identical... Yeah, it looks identical to the theatre production, basically, from what I can see, obviously, with less trapdoors, but more physical things happening. It's what's the name? Not Alice in Wonderland.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, it's just Wizard of Oz, really, but it's from the... Which is perspective.
Okay. But is it a prequel, isn't it? Sort of.
Yeah. Guess so. Yeah. Yeah. It's when they're younger. Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, looks fine. Don't know if I'll necessarily go and watch it, but I'm sure it will be well received. It's musical. It's, you know, Cynthia Erivo's got a good voice. Ariana Grande, we know, has got a good voice. It's got Jeff Goldblum, who, you know, is very much in the kind of, I think he thrives in that theatrical way. So I think that he'll probably thrive, yeah, definitely suit well as the Wizard of Oz. Michelle Yeoh's in it. And last, unless I've forgotten one, is The Fall Guy, which has got Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. He's playing a stuntman, and it's very much in the wheelhouse of Ryan Gosling in that sort of like sarcastic, yeah, kind of offbeat character. It looks quite funny. The trailer was quite like poppy. It's like it's going to feature action and romance and blah blah blah. A bit parody, but made me laugh. And I like Ryan Gosling. I like Emily Blunt. So probably go and watch that one. Did it stir up anything for either of you?
I didn't love the trailer because of the whole, I suppose, meta-ness of it all. I much preferred the trailer that came out before this one, that just kind of told me more of the plot of the film kind of thing. But yeah, quite similar to you. I'm a fan of Ryan Gosling. I'm a fan of Emily Blunt, so I'm looking forward to watching this. It feels like a film that, you know, it's not going to be, it's going to be like a kind of a dumb action flick, for lack of a better word. So yeah, should be pretty decent. Nothing in the trailer particularly like blew me away. But yeah, who's directing it?
Yeah, David Leitch.
Oh, John Wick guy, right?
Yeah, and Atomic Blonde.
Okay, so yeah, I'm expecting at least some cool stunts at the very least.
Yeah, good pedigree.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, I say.
What are we looking forward to that's coming out, or shall I say not looking forward to? Dakota Johnson seems to have completely given up trying to promote Madame Web.
was she ever trying to? I feel like that's the issue.
I think her and Sydney Sweeney were led to believe they were going to be part of the MCU.
Oh, yeah.
No, surely not.
Yeah. I think they've both
made allusions to it. Sydney Sweeney certainly was like, I can't say much about the film, but I'm excited to be part of the MCU.
Well, you know that Jared Leto also said the same thing, and so did Tom Hardy.
No, their agents must be bad then.
Or Sony's telling them a lie.
No, surely not. Surely not.
This Sony universe stinks, mate.
Do you know what it is? I said this in our chat, right? I'm happy that Sony have got their own universe of films. I just wish the films weren't shit. Like, they're all shit. They're literally all shit. It's such a shame.
Have you seen it yet?
No. I might see it tomorrow, I think.
The thing is, right, like, if I still had my Odeon pass, I would go and see it. But now I'm actually physically paying per ticket. I have to pick and choose. I can't subject myself to that kind of level of
preach it, sister. I'm the
masochism.
Same.
Masochism. Do you know what I mean?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's got like as bad, if not worse, ratings than Mobius. It's bombing at the box office.
I feel like it can't be that bad, but apparently it's got the superhero issue of you don't see the heroes in their costumes till the very end.
Right.
Well, and I think a lot of people were like, well, we were led to believe there's going to be four Spider Women plus Madame Web, and we've only got it at the very end kind of vibe. But like, usually usually I hear about a film and there's a few good things said by people, and I don't know if it's just a bandwagon thing people are doing, but any social media person that I've seen that's gone to see it, which again, they all hype it up or they lower it down depending on what the general consensus and population say. But like, a lot of people have just basically said it was rubbish.
Yeah, I have not seen, and this could be in contrast to a film we could talk about in a minute, but I have not seen one person say it's good. I've not even seen one person say, oh, it's not that bad. I've just seen everyone say it is really, really terrible.
It's poorly written, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. So like, from the off, apparently the script is just arse. But it makes me think that I'm surprised more people aren't going to like hate watch it. Like, oh my god, it's going to be so bad, let's go see it.
It's the economy, mate.
Maybe.
People can't hack it no more.
I heard it's like Catwoman levels of bad, which is surprising. If it's that bad, then wow.
Brutal. it wasn't so bad that they scrapped it like bloody, Batgirl. Was it Batgirl?
Like,
that's crazy. But like,
I heard how bad that film was.
Yeah, same. They've got to bring it out one day, but I don't think James Gunn will allow it now. Yeah. Or he might just do it for like satire. But I don't get is apparently, well, I do get it because this is what I've been told, what I've read. Apparently the script from Madam Web was totally different when they started.
Oh, really?
And apparently when Sydney Sweeney and Dakota Johnson jumped on board and it started taking off, apparently they changed the script. So I don't know if they had a script in mind. And then, so Marvel will maybe like, nah, this ain't okay. I can't imagine Marvel would say that because Marvel probably want as much publicity as possible because that's what they love. But
it was supposed to be set in the same universe as one of the Spider-Man films, I believe. I don't know if that's still the case.
Well, I just don't get why they, because even apparently the date, like, because do you guys know what the general synopsis is?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so they're trying to save the unborn Peter Parker, aren't they? But apparently it's not Tom Holland Peter Parker because it's 2 years, 2 years the wrong year.
Well, it has been because they said it's set in 2003.
Yeah, and I think he was born in 2005.
Right.
Or 2001.
Well, yes. I mean, I've read some truly, truly terrible things about this film. I'm interested. I want to live vicariously through Grogu,
yeah,
and have that second-hand pain, but not experience it myself.
I'll fight the good fight for all of us.
Thank
just
you.
Right, I'll watch it eventually. Just there is no incentive to rush to see it now.
That's fair.
No, I don't think I've got hate watching me at the moment.
I was like, Sarah, let's watch it on Valentine's. It'll be fun. And then
is that why she put on Instagram that you're for sale?
No. That's because apparently she asked me when we're getting a dog, and I said, once we get married.
Well, I better put a ring on it then. Right. Obi, you made an allusion to a film that maybe would be worth going to see.
Yes, yeah, so Dune Part 2 is coming in about 10 days. And I have... So similar how I've seen... All I've seen is people saying bad stuff about Madam Web. I have not seen one person say a bad thing about Dune 2. So they kind of, they have alluded to the fact, I think Glenn and Chris, you two are quite, you two felt quite similar about the first one, that it was a bit maybe, not as entertaining, quite like long and drawn out. Apparently this one is like all the action.
Okay.
And it's
Is there a part three? Sorry to cut you off.
So I think there is going to be a part three, I believe.
Okay. Dune sorry, the Fire.
Oh. Sorry, you can carry on what you're going to say now, sir.
It seems like where obviously the first film was more about world building, setup, da da da, and apparently this is just like where all the battle and all the cool sci-fi shit's going to take place. So I am really, really, really looking forward to seeing this one.
That's a lot of reallys, mate.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it as well. I've not seen much, but I think visually, maybe I'm just appreciating it a bit more. But like Austin Butler's character looks really cool.
Yeah.
And that whole, like, basically being a mini Stellan Skarsgård. I mean, this film is stacked with talent. And if it is kind of what you said, then I'm looking forward to it. It kind of feels like the inverse of Kill Bill.
I was going to say that.
Because, yeah, my biggest issue with Kill Bill is that the first one is all the action. The second one's all the kind of filler. And the second one is not good, in my opinion. But, yeah, so if this is flipped, then at least I think that makes a bit more sense, maybe. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That anyone going to try out that popcorn bucket?
If it's there, I'll get it.
What's this popcorn bucket thing?
Have you not seen it?
It looks like a fleshlight, to be honest.
Yeah, it's basically the Dune. It's the monster.
Okay.
But it's a popcorn bucket, and it looks like it could be like a fleshlight, but just
So that was the point of it. How do you like? Can you still?
You put it on top of your popcorn, and you put your hand into the monster.
You put it on top of your willy.
if you want. But
yeah, I mean, it's got dual use. Once you finish your popcorn, you can just, you know.
Jesus, those jokes. Oh my days. Because like the thing is, right? The marketing person behind that is a genius because I'm not seeing someone not like everyone talks about that fucking bucket. So
yeah,
they've done the job.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I was like, "What the? what tie-in is this?"
I've not heard of it until you guys said it just now.
Give it a Google. It's Anyway, yes, June 2. Looking forward to seeing that. I will make some time to go and see it in the cinema. I think it's, again, put over 2.5 hours long, but that seems to be Denis Villeneuve's modus operandi.
Mm.
Yeah, whatever you just said, I agree.
I was going to see the Bob Marley film too, but I haven't
got
a chance to see that yet, unfortunately.
I don't think I've seen too many like reviews on that yet.
Neither have I, to be honest.
Which bodes well, I feel. I think, I hope, maybe.
Yeah, that's it really, in the near future.
Yeah. What about Godzilla Kong?
Oh, don't care.
I mean, I'll go see it, but I don't really care for Godzilla
Kong. Well, apparently they're best mates in this film, so I'm a bit like, what's going on?
There was like a red Kong throwing a building at the other Kong who has some
was
sort
that
of
another
fist.
Kong?
I don't know.
For God's sake, really?
Wait, they teamed up in the last one, didn't they, to fight the... There was like an electronic Godzilla.
Mecha Godzilla, wasn't it? Yeah.
They teamed up. So, yeah, people seem to really like these films. I have no idea why. But, like, if I compare that film to, like, for example, Godzilla Minus One, I think Godzilla Minus One's way better than any of the recent Godzilla Kong films. But...
The director of Godzilla Minus One was asked what the budget of that film was, and he said, I'm not going to tell you because then you're going to ask me to make films on that budget again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, cool. Any other business bringing in the corporate speak?
I watched a film called... sorry, watched a film. What's the series called? Love Life on BBC iPlayer. I thought it was really good. It's really sweet. It's about this guy, basically. He goes through... his love interests from kind of one partner to his like end life partner, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
It's just kind of like going through his life, different aspects of it, and the characters are all really well written. I think there's only like 30-minute episodes. It's a nice little show. Unfortunately, they cancelled it after 2 seasons, which is a shame. But I thought it was really worth watching. It's got Chidi from... The Good Place.
Oh, nice.
Character. Okay. Yeah, really enjoyed that. That was a good watch. And I watched, on Chris's recommendation, I watched The Brother's Son. That was a really good series, I think.
Yeah, easy watch as well, Phil.
Easy watch, yeah, very fun. Michelle Yeoh was in it. Good chemistry between the characters. Mm-hmm. A lot of kung fu. I don't know if it was kung fu. A lot of fighting and stuff like that. Quite heartfelt at times as well. Well-written characters, and they set up well for a season two. That was a good watch as well. Even my sister watched it, which I was shocked.
Shows what about One Day? We've been watching that.
One Day. I started it with a certain someone.
She who will not be named.
Yeah, she who will not be named. And we've watched one episode. It looks alright so far. Yeah. Apparently, it's really sad.
What was that?
Sangabala Kadabra.
Oh, right. I thought that's what you'd said, but I was like, yeah, fair play. Oh, dear.
But, I mean, we've watched a few of them. It chronicles them, like, in different years, but you never kind of get enough time with them to really... I don't necessarily feel their chemistry, but I think we're in the minority of that. A lot of people seem to love it.
Yeah, I see people who are like reviewing it and they're crying at the end. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, like you said, they're relatively short, mercifully, so we might continue. Cool. Well, hope you and she who will not be named enjoy it, and hopefully she enjoys this coded shout out. Cool. All right. Well, we will reconvene once we've seen June Part 2. In the meantime, thank you for listening. You can catch previous episodes on Apple and Spotify. You can follow us on X, where we are at YC Podcast 17. We're also on TikTok and Instagram as Your Average Critics, where we do have a new post about the Iron Claw review, so go and check that out.
Keep it sexy.
Chris, you've got to say peace.
Sorry, I forgot my headphone was down. Peace.